But we are glad to have everybody back. We've actually been goofing off for a couple weeks. Haven't done much of anything. Actually, your substitute did a phenomenal job, and there's no substitute Holy Spirit. He was here, and people were laying all over, reminding me of kindergarten. I know we're missing a lot of our men. They're on a field trip, I guess. Yeah, we will. Let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for our men who are out for a couple days and in the wild and acting wild. So, Father, calm them and protect them in the name of your Son Jesus. Amen. As calm as they're willing to be, I hope they have a good time. It's interesting that they're out this week. I'm reading from Peter, and it's just important that we know a little bit about Peter as much as what he said. And he was such a man's man. As I was studying him, I was thinking he's the kind of guy that'd be out on a four-wheeling trip for a few days. By all accounts, he was big and strong, and as you know, he was a fisherman, a real outdoors type, I guess. And he wasn't just a fisherman. He had a fishing business. Evidence points that he had a house and he owned his own boat, which was rare, and he had employees. And he was, so we're going to read from 1 Peter, and at the end of the book he says, I write this with the help of Silas. So many people think that he was not able to write. He was never formally schooled. But it's just he's just a neat guy. I identify with him, and a lot of it's because of his failures. He had faith enough to think he could step out of the boat and walk on water, which he did, and then he fell. As
But he walked.
He did. He did. He had it all. He stepped out, which is what more than most of us are willing to do. His denial of Christ, and then his restoration. But you think about that at one point he said, I'll follow you even unto death. And then, you know, moments later he's, I don't know who Jesus is. And they're like, oh, you're with him. You're one of his disciples. No, I don't know him. And his failures are so evident. So as much as anybody who's tried to step out in faith and failed. And so we were talking about that in the back when we were praying this morning. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, and Peter's an example of that, where his failures were evident and his restoration was evident. The other thing I like about him is his, I call it a style of writing, but I don't think he actually did the writing, so maybe he dictated and Silas or somebody else wrote for him. But he's to the point. He doesn't mince words. I like that about him. There's so many different styles of writing in the Bible, which I think is really interesting, and you can study them, and you can even study a lot of the words that Peter had to say in his letters, but he was right to the point. He would say, don't be proud, God doesn't like it. So we get a lot of, you know, there's the other letters that Paul wrote in Ephesians, and we get a lot of instructions in Corinthians, but I think Peter's two letters, they're short, a few chapters. His verses are short, but there's so much instruction in so few words. So I just like that about him. So he was in Rome when he wrote this letter, and it was about 30 years after Jesus had been crucified. So he was an elder at this point, and he was only a few years away from his own crucifixion. So again, we're in 1 Peter. And I'm just reading one verse this morning. It's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, and he shows favor to the humble. And so just in those couple sentences, there's a few things that I want to talk about, and as I just mentioned in communion, we've been talking about this cloak of humility. Diane brought it up at the Feast of Trumpets, and the verse says, clothe yourself in it. So it's It's telling you to do something, to clothe yourself, to put it on. It's an action you take, and you choose whether or not to take it. Two Sundays ago, Kevin said that humility was the highest rank in heaven, and he said it paints the road to love. And I wrote that down. And I'd been thinking about it for 2 weeks, and as I thought about that statement, that humility paints the road to love, I thought how many other things that humility paints the road to: grace and mercy and hope, repentance, the crucified life, unity. I don't think we would have any of those things if you didn't first have humility to go after them. So when Kevin made the statement, I pictured this blacktop road, and it had fresh yellow lines, you know, new real blacktop and yellow lines, and I pictured it going up to heaven, and at the top was love, which is what Kevin said, humility paints the road to love. And so, obviously, Jesus is love. So I pictured this road to heaven, love at the top, and Jesus at the top. And then I thought, on the ditch on each side of that road, there are obstacles that would try to keep the Christian from reaching his destination or from reaching your destiny. And I would say that these would be demons, distraction, selfishness, unfaithfulness, unforgiveness. If you're a proud person, these demons will easily spot you and keep you from reaching the top, reaching heaven and reaching love. So if you're the proud person, you're puffed up. As Diane said, you're wearing the bright, shiny armor for all to see, especially those who would attack you. So this cloak of humility that's mentioned in the scripture, it's designed to cover that up. It's like a camouflage to what you need to get past accusations, lies, judgment, again, things that would keep you from your destination. So again, along this road, I see things, you know, normally we think of, you travel along a road and there's things you pick up and souvenirs and things that you grab, but this road is not about that, but it's about what you give. And if you don't wear this cloak of humility, you won't be able to give compassion to others, you won't be able to give sympathy, you won't be able to give mercy to other people, you won't be able to give forgiveness. If you don't have compassion or empathy or mercy or forgiveness, you can't love. So again, from this statement that love paints the road, or humility paints the road to love, I see these obstacles. And I see all these things that we need to get to our destination, to reach our destiny, and it all begins with humility. So I want to look back at 1 Peter 5:5 and read it again. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. That last line, Peter was actually quoting Proverbs 3:34. So we're looking for action, and the first action verb that you see is the word submit. And of course, sub means to be under, below, like a submarine. And there are many verses in the Bible about submission, and they speak to everybody. If you're a slave or a subject to another person because maybe you had to pay off a debt, you were a subject, and the Bible calls you to be submissive to your master. And it's funny because Peter wrote this during the time of Nero, who was like one of the most evil emperors in all of Rome, and later he was the one that crucified Peter. But he said, even to a governor you don't agree with, you're obligated to be submissive. So come under authority. Wives submit, husbands submit, and of course we know even Jesus became a willing servant and submitted. That's another point where you appreciate Peter, because at that Last Supper when Jesus was washing all the disciples' feet, Peter was the one who said what everybody was thinking. you know, Jesus is washing the feet, and they got to be looking at each other like, you know, this is our master, the Savior, the Messiah, who we've been following for years, and he's washing our feet. And so finally Peter says it, you can't do this. And Jesus says, if you don't allow me to do this, then you have no part of me. And that's the great thing about our failures, and is just how quickly Peter said, okay, then wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my hair. I mean, he's just so, I probably just would have shut up. Just got rebuked and, all right, wash my feet. But Peter's like, all right, I'm wrong. Wash all of me. But there's just this story of submission in this verse. And Peter, when Peter talks about authority in the older generation and the younger, eventually there's a change, and you'll become that mature Christian that other people would submit to. But you know, he kind of says, just let that happen. You know, don't push for it. And I was thinking of the song by Bob Dylan where he says, "You got to serve somebody." He says, "You might be a banker or you might be a thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. It doesn't matter who you are." So submission and humility go hand in hand. And Peter says submit. And in this verse, he tells the younger Christians to submit to more mature Christians. And in the next verse, he says, everybody submit to one another. So no one's excluded from submission. The second sentence, the second verb that we come to is clothe. It's clothe yourself in humility. And like the Bob Dylan song where he said, you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord. You're going to make a choice. He said, some people even choose to serve themselves. So you're going to choose. And Peter's really telling us, you have a choice whether to put on the cloak of humility or the cloak of pride. So what do you take off to put on humility? How do you take off pride? And the first thing is to check what you're already wearing. There's a couple ways I've always thought about this. To check what you're already wearing, pride or humility, look at your checkbook. How much income do you have? Where does it go? Is the money spent on yourself? And how much do you spend on meeting someone else's needs? When I say that, I'm not just talking about people in your own family. We can spend a lot of money, and I've been guilty of this, and you know, and I justify it and I say, I'm doing it for the children, but oftentimes it's really our own pride wanting our children to look better off than all the other children. So when you check your pride, check where your money's going. Think about the example you're setting for your children over whom you have authority. You have to submit before they can submit. And then the second thing to check is your calendar. How much time do you spend serving yourself? And how much time do you spend serving others? And the same thing, the Bible wouldn't tell you to ignore your own family, but if your spouse or your children never see you serving someone else, I wonder what kind of people they'll be. And whom will they serve? Whom will they choose? Will they serve themselves? And I know we have obligations to our family. We have older parents, and many times we need to take care of them. But how many times do you take care of your neighbor? Sometimes you probably see it. But ask yourself how many times you take care of the neighbor on the other side that you don't like. Or what about the stranger? Or what about somebody that doesn't deserve help? Jesus died for people who betrayed him and wanted to kill him. So that's the example we see of humility. Check your checkbook, check your calendar, take off your pride. This technology that we carry around and our iPads and phones, it keeps a record of everything that we look at. So cars or girls or boys or recipes or fashions and haircuts, I don't know, whatever you look at. Your enemy also watches you. He knows what you like, and he's going to feed your pride. So you have to be aware of it and make the choice to feed humility and starve pride. As I was studying this cloak of humility, oftentimes people called it the ugly cloak of humility because it's not bright and shiny and beautiful. It covers the pride of our inside. So it's been called the ugly cloak of humility by some people. But as I thought about it, I said, you know, I think it would look good. The cloak of humility, it's like meekness. It's because I choose it. I choose this cloak of humility. It's not, meek isn't weak. I choose it. So it's done out of strength. And the same thing when you take off pride and put on this cloak of humility, you'll be the one standing at the end of the day. Mark Twain said, "Keep your mouth shut and people might think you're a fool, but open it and leave no doubt." So oftentimes we're in situations, and it's sometimes just better to be quiet, let things play out. If you have humility, as sometimes things begin to unravel, then you step in and say, hey, let's try this. You know, I don't think you always have to be the first one out there to express your opinion. And I say let it go a little bit. So the second half of 1 Peter 5:5, and again, the first two things I saw at the beginning of the verse were to submit and to clothe yourself. And so why do we do these things? The answer comes in the second half of the verse, and it says, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble. So this worries me a little bit. If I put on pride, I will not only miss out on the Lord's grace and favor, but he will oppose me, it says. So if I want grace and favor from God and I don't want him to oppose me, I better look very closely at my pride. And sometimes for me personally, it's not the obvious pride that when you talk about a prideful person, you think of the boisterous, the loud, the know-it-all person, and that's not always the case. Those are easy to spot, but how about the little bit of pride? You may have that, keep that in the back of your mind. I've always been the one to be able to kind of make it on my own, to do things without asking for help. And that's a pride that we need to check as well. Never feeling like you need to ask the Lord for anything is the sin of pride. Humble yourselves in God's mighty hand. This is the verse after what we just read, verse 6. Humble yourselves in God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So Peter goes on to say that the Lord loves you. He knows of your desires and all that you care about. So if you only go to him maybe when you're in a tight spot, Ashley sent me something from when you guys were on vacation where you guys were on at the condo, and she said, I wish I could see dolphins. And he saw a fin, and then she said a whole pod of dolphins began. And then she mentioned later on a walk on the beach with Ryan that she said, I wish I could find a sand dollar. And as soon as she said it, she looked down and found a sand dollar. And that just reminded me of this, those things we fail to ask God about, and I think he's got so many gifts for us, and so many, he knows our desires, and he's got so many surprises for us, and we go through most of our days, you know, without asking him for any of these things. If you remember in communion, I read the what Mother Teresa wrote, the more we empty ourselves, the more we have room for God to fill us. Each time you ask him for one of these things, let him know the desires of your hearts, you're in a way emptying yourself of the pride and all of your own things and making room for him to answer you, to give you gifts and surprises and strength. I'd thought about reading this for communion as well, and it's from Philippians 2. Jesus made himself nothing. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of a man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the point of death on a cross. So you hear about the crucified life, and that's what it means to me, this command that we should take up daily. That's the road to repentance and mercy and grace that we seek. It's the road to forgiveness and submission, and the road to love. And I don't think we get to any of those places without first putting on the cloak of humility. So that's all I have. It was a short verse, and I just wanted to unpack that and not go anywhere else. I want to leave some time to pray. If we want to put on any music, I wanted to bless all of you and pray for humility for all of us, but just leave some time. I'll just stay up here if anybody wants to pray, not just about their own pride, but if there's anything you wanted to pray about this morning, healing request, please come forward. But I want to just have all of us bow our heads and receive this blessing of humility. I'm just going to ask God to seal this on our hearts. Father, just ask that you make us aware of things that we're unaware of. Your word teaches us about pride, and oftentimes we read that and think of other people, which is pride in itself. So for each of us, there's things to reveal. There's different levels of pride, and I ask that you just shine that light in our hearts and make us aware of it. Make us aware of the things we need to take off in order to wear this cloak of humility you tell us about. It keeps us from so many things. That the promises you give us, grace and mercy and of forgiveness and of love, are blocked if we don't take off our pride and wear this cloak of humility. So I just pray that blessing over the people in this church, the people in our flock who aren't with us, the same thing. Just have the Holy Spirit make them aware of things in our daily walk. How much more you have for us when we set down these prideful things and put on this cloak of humility. Just bless us with this. I thank you for your word and for the blessing of your Holy Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.